Mississippi River Basin and the Gulf of Mexico. One of two suits filed this week would compel the Environmental Protection Agency to set limits on the amount of nitrogen and phosphorus that can be released into basin waterways. Nitrogen and phosphorus flow down the Mississippi River into the Gulf of Mexico, causing algal blooms and large dead zones of low oxygen where fish cannot survive. Glennis Collins, the executive director of the Champaign-based Prairie Rivers Network, says Illinois is the largest source of dead zone pollution.
Illinois earns this special status for two reasons. First, the industrial scale of corn and soybean production on our farmland is a major source of nutrient pollution. And second, Illinois is home to Chicago's Metropolitan Water Reclamation District.
Chicago sewage is another major source of nutrient pollution in the Gulf. A second suit would require nutrients to be removed from treated sewage. That's our noon hour look at WILL News. WILL News is always online at will.illinois.edu. Follow our Twitter handle at Will Public Media.
Support comes from Meyer Drapery Services. Specializing in custom draperies since 1972, Meyer Drapery offers more than 1 million linear yards of drapery material in their two local wholesale warehouses and retail outlet at 330 North Neal in downtown Champaign. Installation and design services are also available.
The unseasonably mild weather is expected to continue across the Midwest through Tuesday, next Tuesday, with highs in the 70s and low 80s. Upper-level disturbances will bring periodic showers and thunderstorms across the region beginning later today and continuing through the weekend. High temperatures today will range from the mid-50s across northern Wisconsin to the upper 70s and low 80s across Illinois, Indiana, Missouri, and western Kentucky. Low temperatures overnight will range from the low 30s across northern Wisconsin to the upper 50s and low 60s across Illinois, Indiana, Missouri, and western Kentucky. The forecast for East Central Illinois this afternoon, partly sunny with scattered showers and thunderstorms. Look for a high of 82. The wind from the southwest at 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts to 25. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms. The low 57. The wind out of the southwest from 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow, partly sunny with isolated showers and thunderstorms, the high 80, the wind from the south at 5 to 10. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a low around 60, the wind from the south at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Saturday, partly sunny again with a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Look for a high in the upper 70s, the wind out of the south from 10 to 15 miles per hour. Saturday night, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms, the low around 60, and the outlook Sunday through Monday, partly cloudy through the period with highs in the upper 70s and lows around 60. At noon Central Time, temperatures were in the 70s by and large across Illinois and Indiana. In southwestern Illinois, we saw some temperatures in the 60s and some thunderstorms had developed. Across the rest of the region, sunshine was reported. At Rockford, 72. At O'Hare, 73. In Bloomington, 74. Mattoon checked in with 75 degrees at the top of the hour. In Mount Vernon, 64 degrees, where it was cloudy. South Bend, 75. Lafayette, 77. In Indianapolis, it was 75. And Terre Haute reported 78 degrees. Willard Airport checked in with 77 degrees, a mostly sunny sky. The dew point, 59. The relative humidity, 53%. The wind out of the west at 15. The barometric pressure, 30.07 and falling. And at 12:41, 76 degrees in Urbana, on the campus of the University of Illinois. This is the Afternoon Magazine. I'm Celeste Quinn. It's 12:42. Glad you could join us this afternoon. Well, after 40 years on the stand-up stage, countless comedy albums and iconic movies, Steve Martin is finding new ways to make people laugh. The comedian got on Twitter in 2010, and by now he has attracted nearly 2.5 million followers with his funny and slightly demented tweets. but Martin has recently gone old school by collecting some of his funniest tweets and the best responses from his followers in a book, The 10, Make That 9, Habits of Very Organized People. Make That 10, The Tweets of Steve Martin. Martin came to NPR studios to talk to Morning Edition host Renee Montaigne about the book and to play his banjo in support of an upcoming tour with the bluegrass band, the Steep Canyon Rangers.
I was actually talking to a friend of mine, Tom Hanks, and he was tweeting. And I said, why do you do that? Because I had this perception of tweeting that it was very low. And he said, well, I use it actually for a promotion. I talk about the movie I'm doing, and I sometimes tweet photos, and it builds awareness. And I thought, oh, that's interesting, because I was growing frustrated that when you do a movie or a record that you have to promote it. So I was going on television. You know, I was playing to an audience of 4 million, for example, and maybe only 400 of them were actually interested in my so-called product. And I thought, well, if I had a Twitter feed, and say I had followers of 100,000, that means 100,000 of them would be interested in my book, let's say.
Which is logical.
It was logical, but it didn't turn out to be true. It turned out if I had a Twitter feed of 100,000, 4 of them were interested in my book.
So it's proportional,
yeah,
it turned out to be.
So now I have a following of almost 2.5 million, and it turns out that tweeting is really only good for one thing. It's just good for tweeting.
When you first started, you were doing a series, sort of, it seems like, something like a monologue on Twitter. I mean, there's one of these, starts with this nice saying, a watched iPhone never syncs.
I did a little series there. It's, you know, my iPhone is now lip syncing. And iPhone just synced perfectly with Toaster.
Well, at what point were you at when you got to it's almost like a riff on jury duty.
This was inspired by, I was actually called for jury duty, like the third time in, seemed like 3 months. I started pretending as though I were at jury duty. I think the first tweet was, report from jury duty, defendant looks like a murderer, guilty, waiting for opening remarks.
It goes on, and you're commenting on the other jurors. Other jurors are stupid.
Well, yes, report from jury duty. Other jurors are stupid. They don't believe in hexes. Plus, they want me to put my magazines away. What I started to find was that when people started responding, I found they were really writing well. I remember running into my wife a couple of times and reading some of the responses, and we were laughing out loud, like, oh, yes. My tweet was, I was promoting my album, Rare Bird Alert, and I tweeted, Rare Bird Alert, number 3 on Amazon. I'm happy as a clam. Wait, are clams really happy? And a responder said, the chilling sound of clam laughter has caused many fishermen to quit the sea.
It's pure poetry. Why do you think people seem to be funnier in their tweets than they would ever be on comments on blogs and such?
I agree. And that's another thing I found. I felt like I was looking at kind of a new form of comedy in a strange way, that was talking and response and talking and response in a written way. There's some that make me laugh just kind of looking at.
Well, there's a whole riff on your caps lock key.
Yes, it was the premise that my caps lock key was talking to the audience when I was away.
And so everything's in uppercase.
Yeah, it was, hi, I'm Steve's caps lock key. It's all in caps. And I'd like to meet other caps lock keys. I'm interested in boating and hiking.
And
then a guy wrote back in lowercase, your kind are not welcome here.
It is you have gained these comedic collaborators.
Yes, and I've always believed that there are funny people everywhere, but they're just not comedians. In fact, some of my best comedic inspirations were not professional entertainers. You know, I had a friend in Texas, and his wife told me they were at an amusement park. And they came up to one of those maps, and it had a map of the amusement park, and it said, you are here. And he looked at it, and he said to her, How does it know?
Do you... It does seem like there was a random thought that would lead to a theme. And as the book goes along, it just often seems like totally random thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Like
finally thinking about getting a computer.
Yes. I like the absurdity of that, that you can't possibly be tweeting and finally be thinking about getting a computer. And then people immediately catch on to it. You know, I like the idea that one thing leads to another. You can tweet something completely innocuous and then find yourself going off on a tangent that's inspired by a response. And, you know, these things appear on people's phones in the middle of the day. You know, it's not like people are gathered in a hall and they're expecting something funny. You know, talk about the unexpected.
Which is...
Yeah.
One of the key
it's
elements
a good thing, yeah.
Of comedy.
And there's absolutely no reward but it.
But it's rewarding.
It is rewarding because it's just its own reward. It's sort of like heaven.
The book is The 10 Make That 9 Habits of Very Organized People. Make That 10, The Tweets of Steve Martin. And remember the banjo he brought in? After we chatted, he picked it up and played a new song for us, the song that you're hearing right now, which he may or may not be playing when his band, the Steep Canyon Rangers, goes on the road.
Steve Martin was interviewed by NPR Morning Edition host Renee Montagne.
WILL news reporters and contributors won 6 awards in the 2011 Associated Press Journalism Excellence Contest, including Best Investigative Series, Best Documentary Series, and Best Sports Story. Reporters Sean Powers, Jeff Bossert, Jim Meadows, Tom Rogers, and Dave Dickey, along with commentator Lisa Braltz and Pam Dempsey of CU Citizen Access, were recognized in the contest's Downstate Radio Division.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday. It's the 15th of March, 2012. It was on this date, 1985, the first internet domain name was registered, a company called Symbolics.com. Before the internet, there was ARPANET, which came online in 1969, a project of the Advanced Research Projects Agency, ARPANET, originally connected large computers at 4 universities in California and Utah. It was used by engineers, scientists, librarians. They brought in email, 1972, file sharing in 1973. Before the advent of the domain name, hosts were represented by their numerical address on a computer network, but those were hard to remember. So along came Symbolics.com, in 1985. That year, there were only 6 domain names, .coms. By 1992, there were fewer than 15,000. In 2010, there were 84 million. It's the birthday of the novelist Ben Okri, born in Minna, Nigeria, 1959, author of a collection of stories, Tales of Freedom, 3 years ago. Here's a poem for today by Timothy Walsh, At the Goodwill. Like crows tearing at roadkill, people rummage among the aisles and clothes bins, ransacking the discarded clutter of other lives for that special, undiscovered something. Beyond an army of tired shoes, you make your way to the back corner, where golf clubs by the hundreds jut from barrels, shafts and club heads, jumbled helter-skelter. Nearby, old golf bags are piled like clumsy sea creatures dead upon the sand, splayed zippers and torn pockets full of old golf balls, crumpled scorecards, stubby pencils, and old tees. Some clubs are still caked with mud, remnant of the day they were last played, orphaned by the terse calling card of death. Forgotten in basements or garages, long past the funeral, until they are dropped off, lifted from the trunks of cars with a pallbearer's decorum. Clubs once cherished by men, magic implements to leverage the spirit, arcane as alchemists' weapons, Spalding synchrodyned top flight, lynx predator, golden ram, Wilson stratablock cup defender, McGregor oil-hardened chieftain, each club someone's personal Excalibur, elevating the soul with each dance-like swing, old woods maple and persimmon once lovingly cleaned and oiled, now grimy, cast off, seemingly dead. But if you close your eyes, you can feel something, a low hum, diffuse as starlight, all the accumulated shot concentration of decades, stored in the clubs like batteries, the fire